We use it whatever we need, whatever the church needs, amen? So we there's been a lot of money run through that little White House, amen? And it's a good thing, praise God. I was just thinking, if you had a ball and chain and had me tethered to this floor, you know what tethered means? Had me tied down, chained to this floor, I think I would probably snap that chain from pacing around so much. Praise God. Pastors are out of town today. They've been out of town for the past few days, but they are in Chris McMichael's church in Tennessee. He's ministering today. So we want to remember. Let's just pray for him right quick. Father, we thank you for our pastor. Father, we thank you for that word that you're going to deliver through him to that congregation and those people. Father, I thank you, Lord, that their hearts are receptive towards it. Thank you, Lord, that their spirits are open to you, Father. And we just pray that that anointing fall on that place and just give Pastor Ronnie the words of wisdom and a word of knowledge for that congregation and those people at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I don't know. I'm kind of feeling rushed up here this morning, like I'm going to go through this stuff real fast. I don't know why. I'll calm down in a minute, but sometimes you just kind of, you feel like you're going to fly through something, and we'll slow down here just a little bit. Did y'all have a good fourth? Yes. Amen. We did too. You know, thinking about the fourth, I was thinking this morning, I said, you know, we celebrate our independence and we celebrate our freedom through the 4th of July. And I thought about this morning, you know, there's truly no real freedom outside of Jesus Christ. We have our freedom in Jesus Christ. I mean, I know the whole United States and Great Britain and, you know, we have our freedom from that. But we experience a freedom in Jesus that the world don't know. Just like the peace we have in Jesus, right? Amen? So, in my desk, this is no political plug. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. I'm not socialist. I'm a Christian. I'm an ambassador of God. Amen? So I don't affiliate myself with any political party other than Jesus Christ and God. Amen? But in my desk, I have a copy of, a little bitty copy. Got to have some big glasses to read this. But of the Constitution. And I just thought of that this morning when I was sitting back there. I thought, you know, I'm going to flip through that. I wonder how much of today's, I don't want to say today's generation, but today's people, when you tell them we're celebrating July 4th, do they actually know what we are celebrating? It's a lot of our world history. Do we truly know a lot of our world history? And me, myself, I can get up here and spout off some dates and be 100 years off because I'm not a student of history. I mean, I'm familiar with things, but I'm not a student of it. So to know it is, you know, I can't say I'm real skilled in that. But I know how to look it up, and I know how to educate myself. Amen? So I was just flipping through this morning, and it's a copy of the Constitution. And it also, in the back of it, it has a copy of the Declaration of Independence. And I was just kind of skimming over it right quick. So let me read you just the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. This was July 4th, 1776. And I thought about that too. You know, that's really, it sounds like a long time ago, but it's really not a long time ago. You're talking about 244 years. So, the second paragraph. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men," you know the thing. Did y'all get that? Come on, that was good. All men are created equal. We're created equal. We know that by God's rule, and we know that by what it's saying here. It says, all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. Wow, our Declaration of Independence acknowledges our Creator.
Exactly right.
Amen?
With
certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amen? So we all desire those things, right? So I'm going to go on and read a little more of it. Look, it's a magic trick. I disappeared. I'm just kidding. Get a tissue. See, y'all laughing. That's good. Loosen up some more. Praise God. All right, now, when I read this, I'm not saying let's get us a militia together and go overthrow the government. I'm just reading what our Declaration of Independence says. And they're making a referral to the King of Great Britain and his tyranny and all the things that he had had them under. So it says that to secure these rights, to secure the rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, governments are instituted among men. I think our government has kind of forgotten that. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new governments, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Amen? That's our Declaration of Independence. And it's in there. And I'm not saying you, but you don't think that Constitution and that Declaration of Independence is under attack right now? Oh, most definitely. All our unalienable rights are under attack right now.
Exactly right.
Amen? So we have to pray and we have to guard against that. Praise God?
Amen.
God's good. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Well, like I said, that wasn't a political plug. I just thought since it was the 4th of July weekend, we would remind ourselves exactly what we're free from and the independence that we have and not to take that freedom for granted. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of countries don't know and don't experience the freedom that we have, and that's a blessing from God. Amen? Hallelujah. So when this past week when I was thinking about today and thinking about studying in the Word and in a message, and I thought if Jesus was here on this earth in the flesh, as he's the Son of God, but here on earth, as man, as he once walked on earth, what message would he be preaching? What would he be saying in a time like this? And I thought, because, I mean, there's all kinds of sermons, there's all kinds of messages, there's all kinds of parables, there's all kinds of things you can teach out of. But would y'all agree that it seems like we're in a pretty critical time in our life right now?
Yes.
Me and Bubba, we were talking the other day, and I made the comment, and the comment was, I don't know, it's kind of off-the-wall comment, but I just said, you know, it kind of feels like we're really in uncertain times right now. And then I caught myself when I said that, no, we are in Christ Jesus. There's nothing uncertain about that. Christ Jesus is the one certain thing we have.
Amen.
But the world that's going on around us seems kind of uncertain. It seems a little weird what's going on around us. But we're in this time and season for a reason, right? So I thought about what would Jesus say? What would Jesus want us to hear? And I thought, you know, we don't have him here as man right now, as flesh, but we have him dwelling inside of us. Amen?
Amen?
So if he's dwelling inside of us, when a minister stands before you and gives the word, is it my message? Absolutely not. It's not my message. It's Jesus Christ's message. It's his message that comes out of me because I'm a vessel that he uses to get that message across. Right? Amen. So, with that being said, and once I got going on this and got to studying, I thought, Lord, I feel like I'm back in the Baptist church, because y'all get that in a minute. Because I thought, you know, this is some of the Bible verses I learned when I was a kid in a little Baptist church. And like I said, thank God for the Baptist.
Amen.
May the Baptist be fired up even more in this time and day.
Amen.
And may that message just praise God. May that message of salvation burn in people's hearts. Because that's what people need. Well, I ain't watered up here in a while. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. If you will, turn with me to John 14. Thank you, Lord. When you're in John 14, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Sounds like most of you are there. I'm going to start in verse 1. So, talking of, let's relate this here to these days and this time that we're in. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You, that's us, believe in God. Believe also in me. We do. We believe in Jesus, right?
Yes.
In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Thank God. Do you often think of that place that God's prepared for us? We should. We should kind of meditate on that every once in a while, about that place that He's gone and prepared for us. It says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Amen? Then it says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? I think Jesus was a little deep for him there when he was telling him what was going on. Jesus said to him, I am the way, so the way to the Father, the truth about God, and the life of God. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's pretty plain and clear. Amen? No one goes to the Father except through Jesus. So when I think about that For me, what that says, and for what we know, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. Those five words will be attacked. At some point, that vocabulary, that statement, that phrase is going to come under attack. So with that freedom that I have and with that authority through Christ, I stand up here and tell you, Jesus is the only way. Amen? And when I think about that, I thought, you know, all the things that are going on right now, you've got people just stirring up hate here and stirring up bitterness here. They're just stirring trouble. Everywhere they can stir trouble. It's like it's a big old pot and they're stirring it up wherever they can stir trouble. So you've got this hate and this whatever you want to call it focused on a couple of different things right now. And they are focused on that because that's all. If you turn the news media on, if you turn something on, that's all you hear about. It's where that hate is focused right now. On racism, however you want to ball it up. And I thought the other day when I was thinking about this, how easily could that hate be turned from where it's at right now and directed towards the church or towards Christians? Well, we're going to see persecution. The Word tells us that. So how easily, I mean, people get on the bandwagon of what's going on right now and they have no idea what they're even protesting, what they're hating. They're just out there with a loud voice just making a noise. So if they're not educated and don't know, and I'm sure there's ones that are educated and know what they're protesting about. But if we have those people that have no clue what they're doing other than making a loud noise, how simple would it be to say, hey, come over here and let's hate this group now. Or let's come against this group. Let's start busting these windows out, tearing these houses down. So we have to guard against that. And we have to stand against that. And the one way we do that is to introduce Jesus to these people. If people receive Jesus and they know who Jesus is, they'll not want to destroy Jesus. Amen? So, I say that again. Jesus is the only way. It says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. And that's what I long to do. I long to know Jesus that I may know the Father more. Amen? Praise God. It says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, and that's Christ Jesus. Amen? So, I got a few. Now, I won't say these statistics and all this stuff I looked up is 100% accurate because I just kind of did a quick scan of it. And if you want to get real technical about it, you can go do the study yourself. But I was kind of curious of what the world population is today, and I was kind of curious of how many religions are out there today, and I just find things like that interesting. So I looked it up, and when I looked it up, I seen that there was 4,200 world religions right now. That's a lot of religions, and that's probably a lot of religions that's not saying on Sunday morning that Jesus is the only way, right? So out of that, Christianity. Let's talk about Christianity for just a minute. Christianity makes up 31.4% of this. That's at 2.3 billion people. Now, like I said, that they could be more, they could be less. I just kind of did a quick internet pull up there of what it was. But that's just a good roundabout. I got these numbers to come up with a sum. So at this sum, and I'll tell you before I get there, at this sum of the equation that I found, I sat there. And all I could say was, wow. Wow. You'll get there in a minute with me. So the world population today, I found a couple different things. One was 7.8 billion. But the one I found on the census thing where it has the little, if y'all ever looked that up, there's a little census thing you can look up, and it's just this like odometer that is just turning the whole time you're sitting there looking at it. And that's people being born into the world. And I mean that sucker, that it spins fast. It moves fast. So I'm going to go with the 7.6 billion people. So if 2.3 billion are Christian, that leaves 5.3 billion people that are possibly not Christians or following Christ or believe in Jesus. That's a lot of people. So Islam, 1.9 billion. So there's almost as many Islam as there is Christians. According to this, like I said, this could vary. Hinduism is 1.2 billion. Secular, non-religious, agnostic, and atheist, 1 billion. That's a lot of unbelievers. In nothing. They don't believe in anything. So you have, according to that census website, it says we have a birth every 8 seconds and a death every 12 seconds. That's pretty crazy. I was sitting at a red light the other day after I looked all this stuff up, and I was down in Biltmore, and I was sitting at that red light, and I started counting off. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. I counted to 12 four times sitting at that red light. You put that in perspective of eternity. That's four people that died while I was sitting at that red light. How many out of that four people went to heaven? How many out of that four people went to hell? While I sat at a red light. I mean, that's, what is that, 48 seconds? People's eternity was determined. You've got your whole, this is kind of heavy. Kind of deep. But you have your whole life. The time that God has allotted you, you have that life
to decide if you're going to be born again or if you're going to deny him. And if somebody is dying, and it comes down to that 12 seconds that somebody's dying, and then your attorney's done the decision. And I know, I'm not judging no man. I'm not saying as soon as you die, you're going one way or the other. I know that's God's business. But I know for myself, while I'm here on this earth and I'm alive, I'm going to determine and I'm going to know that my eternity is secure. I'm not going to wait till I get down to that last statistic of sitting at a red light and 12 seconds left I die and I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell. Amen? So we need to determine today, this very hour, because I'm telling you, I feel, in my spirit, there has been a line in the sand drawn. And we are seeing that. And we better determine which side of that line we're going to be on. Amen? Praise God. You know, I love the Lord. And I love this church. I love this body. And I love y'all too much to have ignored a message like this and went on to something else. Amen?
Yes.
I know as Christians, I know we've heard the message of salvation. And I know we've heard that for God so loved us, or for God so loved the world. I know we've heard that. But, you know, when I was thinking about this, we probably know these verses. We know a lot of these verses by heart, and we can quote these verses. And as a Christian, I was thinking about how that's equipping us. If we know the verses of salvation, and we can go out and witness to someone and get them saved, we've been equipped for the ministry by knowing that part of the Word. Amen? So, praise God. Let me tell you, Acts 4:12, this is the NLT version. It says, there is salvation in no one else. No Buddha, no 333,455 quadruplet, whatever Hindu gods there is. I mean, it's unreal how many Hindu gods are out there. I mean, Chi and Chai, and I mean, right there. There is no salvation in no one else other than Jesus Christ. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. No other. Amen? Pretty plain and simple. I mean, it's written. It's written in the Word. And all we have to do is read it. So, going back to these statistics, I did a little bit of, you know, everybody knows that math is not my stronghold. I'll be the first one to admit that. But over the years, it has gotten a little better. I almost texted Andrew the other day to get him to solve this math problem. But I thought, you know, that's probably pretty simple. So I figured it out, praise God. Thank God gave me the intellect to do that. No, it ain't that big a deal. But so we have 2.3 billion, let's say 7.6 billion people in the world. And then we said out of that, that the 5.3 billion, they're with some other religion or some other belief. So what I wanted to do, I wanted to break it down to a percentage. You know, we've always heard that we think a lot of people are going to heaven, a lot of people are getting into heaven, and even Jesus himself said that the path is narrow and many follow the broad. So even if we take that and look at that, you're going to squeeze more people on that broad road than you are the narrow road. So that's telling me the statistic for the broad road is probably better than the narrow. So when I broke that down into a percentage, That told me in that percentage that 68% of the world is not a believer. That's pretty astounding. That's when I sat there and went, wow. That's over half of the world's population that are not believers in Jesus Christ. That's pretty crazy when you think about that. So that makes that statistic or that perception of how many people are actually going to heaven a little bit smaller. Because that's leaving, what, 42%? Right? 32, 42. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Let's go to the good old John 3:16. All you got to do is flip back a few chapters. Y'all okay? Is this all right? Hallelujah. Are you in John 3:16 yet?
Yes.
All right, it says, "For God so loved the world, and above that world I put me." And you think about that, "For God so loved the world." I was talking about the world's population. It didn't say that "for God so loved the United States," or it didn't say "for God so loved Israel," or "God so loved Africa." It says the world. God's passion and God's love is for the world. And I thought about that when, you know, just those first few words, when I read that, I thought, it's so much bigger than what we see. It's so much bigger than Glory Tabernacle. It's so much bigger than Asheville. It's so much bigger than North Carolina. And a lot of times, it's like Pastor Squires was saying last weekend, by the way, He's awesome. He's a super good guy. If you missed last Sunday and we have that recorded, which I'm pretty sure we do, you should get that and listen to it. Because it's just neat. I'm taking a rabbit trail. But it's just neat to hear different ministers and hear how they minister out of different parts of their heart. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because everybody has like a different calling and everybody has a different ministry. And you can just kind of, with certain people, you can kind of spot that pretty quickly where their heart is. And it's awesome to hear somebody minister like that. Because you pick up on, your spirit picks up on what their spirit's saying, and just out of that heart it flows. Right. Amen? But that was good last weekend. But it's like he was saying last weekend, when he's talking about missions overseas and stuff, it's that little box. And a lot of times I find myself thinking in that little box. It's hard to get outside that box. It's hard to push your mind outside that box sometimes. Sometimes we just get in the routine of, okay, we'll get up, we'll go to work, we'll do this, we'll do that, and come the weekend, we'll go to church. And I have to say, though, with these days we've been bouncing around, and are we coming to church and we're not coming to church, we're doing parking lot, there's been a few times that it's been like, what day is it and what in the world are we doing right now? So we've kind of broke outside of that box a little bit by force of circumstances, I guess. But anyways, so we have to think outside of that box. We have to think outside of Glory Tabernacle walls, right?
Yes.
So if we think outside of Glory Tabernacle walls, we're thinking about the world. And we're thinking about, "For God so loved the world." Amen? It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Say, "I believe in Jesus Christ."
I believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen. So if we believe in Jesus Christ, we should have everlasting life. 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Amen. So that world, just like you and I, have a choice. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. So the light, when Jesus came, the light came into the world. Amen. And that light still resides inside of us. But how quickly? A comma. Into the world, comma. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Same thing we see today happening right there. And that dark, it said the darkness, the Greek word of it's S-K-A. It means to cover. The darkness arises from error, ignorance, disobedience, willful blindness, and rebellion. We see that a lot today. It says darkness is an evil system absolutely opposed to the light. Right? But for us, as Christians, we can recognize that light and we recognize that darkness. So we know that the key to that light is salvation by accepting Jesus, right? Amen. So, for God so loved the world. So it's everybody. It's not just a select few people. I've heard that, you know, it's crazy all the things you hear. Yes. But just a select handful of people. No, my Bible said the world. And I'm going to believe what I read. Amen? So, thinking at that 68%, I think as the body of Christ, we have a lot of work to do, right? I think there's plenty we can be doing. And this time right now, what a better time to take the opportunity. I mean, you can go about anywhere right now and you can just see fear running rampant. I mean, even with your little face coverage, you can see your eyes. You can see fear in people's eyes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I've seen people duck and dodge me. It's like, what are you doing? You're 20 feet from me. Why are you dodging me? But people are so scared right now. And I thought about that. You know what it ultimately boils down to? What people are afraid of right now? Of dying. People are afraid of dying. They're afraid of death. You know, I can't say that. I don't know. I don't really care. I kind of embrace the idea. I'm not saying I have a wish to die. It's not what I'm saying. But, you know, I'm not afraid of death. You know why? Because my eternity's secure. I know what's going to happen when I die. I know when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to be with my Father. And I'll come back with Him. I won't have this flawed body. I won't have these crazy thoughts running through my head. If you're a Christian, you still have crazy thoughts running through your head. That's an attack of the enemy. You can't sit out there and say, I don't have no crazy thoughts running through. No. While you're on this earth, you're going to have those attacks. But we know how to combat that, right?
Yes.
Amen? So, I'm not saying I want to die today, but I am saying that I'm not afraid of death. So, I'm sorry, but if you see me walking through the grocery store and I don't have my little mask on, please forgive me. Amen? God's good. So, you know, I thought about this too. When you're up here ministering and you're ministering about salvation, for myself, I wouldn't ever want to take for granted that who you're ministering to is everyone saved. Like, I can look out here and I can see most of y'all's faces, and for the most part, I'm pretty confident that y'all have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and your eternity's secure, right? But for me to stand up here and take that for granted, I would be a fool, right?
Amen. So let's look at some more scripture here. And another thing, it is time for our ministers and it's time for the body to become more and more bold. We have to be bold in this day. We can't be cowardly. We can't be scared. We can't be the ones, and I'm not, please don't, I'm not knocking masks. If you want to wear a mask and you feel comfortable wearing a mask, I'm sure there are some benefits to masks. I know people need to wear those masks. And I'm not, you know, that's just what it is right now. But I feel like for myself, part of being bold and being in faith, I don't know, just don't take me wrong when I'm saying I'm not wearing a mask when I'm out. If I'm around some elderly person and I feel like I need to put on a mask, I will put on a mask. I'm not going to be in rebellion where I'm absolutely going to say, I ain't wearing no mask. You can't make me wear no. No, that's the wrong attitude. Exactly. And that's not what I'm trying to say. If I need to wear that mask to protect someone else, I'll absolutely do that. I'll be 100%, with that. So I'm not, I didn't want that to come across wrong. But I do want to be bold. I don't want to fall short on not being bold with somebody about Jesus. Because people need Jesus. When I say Jesus is the only way, you tell somebody Jesus is the only way, and they go, what do you mean Jesus is the only way? Your life, your eternity hinges on that statement. Jesus is the only way. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look in Romans. Thank you, Lord. Who knows where I'm going out there? Let's look in Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 8. It says, but what does it say? What does the word say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Now, you can take these three verses right here. You could take two verses of that. And you can change, through Christ, you can change someone's eternity by delivering, by equipping, by giving someone and they accepting these two verses right here. It says that if you confess with your mouth, that's a pretty key element when we're doing this. That person that you're talking to, that person you're witnessing to, they need to confess out of their own mouth. They can't tell you that, oh, I did it privately or I did it in my head. If you confess with your mouth, you've got to use your mouth, that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Two things there. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. How hard is that? It's like in Deuteronomy. It's Moses was talking to the children. He said, it's not going to be something that you can't do. It's not going to be something that you can't handle. It's not too tough for us to understand. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a pretty simple gospel. Pretty simple choice. It's either you accept him or you don't accept him. It's either yes or it's either no. One of two things. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth
confession is made unto salvation. That's part of using that mouth. You make that mouth confess salvation. Amen? 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Praise God.
Amen.
Faithful and just.
Yes.
Amen. I need that all the time.
Yes.
I claim that all the time.
Yes.
Of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. Thank you, Father Jesus. You're so good to us. You know, I have more, and I'm going to continue with more. And even the thought of, well, you can't do that. That's not the order of service. You can't do that. So, but I'm going to do that. That was just... So, in what we're talking about, we know that Jesus is the only way. We know that there is one God. We know that God sent His Son to be the mediator of men. Right? So we also know that we have to accept Him. We know that we have to confess Him. And we know that we have to believe in our heart. Right? Pretty simple thing to do. So here's what I want us to do. If you, and like I said, I'm quite certain that most of you are awesome born-again Christians. But I don't want to take that for granted. And I'm not going to wait till the end of service to do this. So, if you want to accept Jesus, if you have fell out of fellowship with Jesus and want to come back into right standing with Him, however you want to do it, we're going to pray this prayer and then we'll go on, okay? And if you pray this prayer and you accepted Jesus in your heart, come see me after service. Because I don't want anybody walking out of here going, what did I just do? Right? When you walk out of here today, I want you to know what you're walking out of here with. Amen?
Amen.
So say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father,
I
come to you in the name of Jesus.
You said in your word,
whosoever shall call upon the name
of the Lord shall be saved.
I am calling on your name now, Jesus.
You also said,
if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus
and believe in my heart
that God has raised Him from the dead,
I will be saved.
I believe in my heart Jesus Christ
is the Son of God.
I believe that He was raised from the dead for my justification. And I confess Him now as my Lord.
And I am saved.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's how you secure your eternity. Amen. I don't want nobody taking a chance of dying and going to hell. It's a serious thing. Amen. Praise God. Well, if that was your first time receiving Jesus Christ and you want to know more, if I can help somehow or another, see me after service. Praise God.
Amen.
So let's, I'm going to gear up now here for Luke. Let's go to Luke 14. Y'all good?
Yes.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You in Luke 14?
Yes.
Now, so everyone has an advanced invitation for a great meal, right? And I'm not talking about when we get out of church service. I'm talking about in Luke 14. Here's the invitation to a great meal. Let's look at verse 15. It says, now when one of those who sat at the table with Him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." So this is making a reference to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you're a born-again believer, you will be there at that day. So we all, as believers, well, according to what I read, this invitation has been spread abroad. This invitation is for anyone that will accept this invitation. So this marriage supper of the Lamb will take place, and if you want to read about it, it's over in Revelation 19. It's the final manifestation of the marriage between Christ and his wife, which the wife is in reference to the church. Right? It said, "Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servants," that's me, say that's me,
that's me,
"sent his servant," that's what we should be doing, being sent at supper time. Now, we've always, you know, y'all know I come from Haywood County, and I live in Buncombe County, and I've always had this big debate about where I grew up. You had breakfast, you had dinner, and you had supper. Anybody else? Or breakfast, lunch, and supper? Yeah. I always heard it called supper. Come late evening or 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock, that was supper time to me.
Yes.
It wasn't dinner time, that was supper time. Dinner time was at 12. I ate at 12. So I think he confirmed the supper time here. So I'm just going to lay that one to rest. Nobody can argue that one with me no more. I'll just use Luke as a reference that supper is supper time in the Bible. Let's move on. Said, "And say to those who were invited." I like this part right here when I read this, because it just so goes along with where it seems where we're at today. It says, "Come, for all things are now ready." We've had our lifetime, and we still have our lifetime ahead of us. But we are his servant, and we have been sent out to invite these people to come into Jesus, to come know Jesus, to come to church, to come under the flock. So we've had all this time up until today, and we'll have time ahead of us, I'm sure, to bring these people in and draw these people in that have that invitation, right? And it's not us that are inviting. It's the Master. The King has invited these people. It's just our job to confirm that and do the work. He expects us to do the work. "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. You know that "but all in one accord" is a powerful thing? Because when I read that, you know where I automatically went to and what I automatically thought? I thought about over in Acts, where they all were in one accord and the Holy Spirit came. So how powerful does that tell you that one accord thing is? Right? One accord can be used for good or bad. So they make excuses. We hear all kinds of excuses. "The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused." I mean, we could take that and we could relate that to so many things. I mean, I'm sure you can relate it for yourself or whoever. "And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask that you have me excused. Lord, I'm just so busy. I've just got so much stuff going on. Lord, is one day a week not good enough for you? I mean, I got my own things I got to take care of, Lord. Let me go take care of those things. When I get done with my stuff, if I got a little time left over for y'all, I might see if I can make it to dinner or supper. We'll just see how it goes. Let me play the day out, and I'll let you know later on. Well, if that later on don't come, you going to make an excuse then? When you're standing before God, you going to make an excuse then? Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, I'm not blasting y'all. Please. It's not my job to blast y'all. It's my job to preach that word. And if that word comes with a rebuke, or that word comes with a sternness or a boldness, I pray for that boldness. I pray that boldness comes out of me. I mean, I think about this. If you walk up to somebody and you lay your hands on your shoulders and you're softly holding their shoulders, and they're going, do you understand? Your eternity lies in a scale. Do you understand that the scales are going to be balanced and they're going to be weighed? Do you understand this? Some people are going to go, yes, I understand that. And some people, when you walk up to them, you're going to have to grab them and you're going to have to shake them. Do you understand? So that the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly. When I read that, what's that tell me? Time's short. We can see it unfolding before us today. Time is short for these people. Time's short for us. The word says life's but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the cities and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done. That, can we say that? Can I say that? Can I go before my Father and say, Master, everything you commanded me to do, it's done. I hope so. I want to. Amen. As you commanded, and still there is room. Huh. That made me think about that 68%. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You know that invitation is unbiased. It's not for one race. It's not for one. It's unbiased. That invitation is for anyone that will accept that invitation. And he sent them out. And he's saying, you go get them. You go into the world. Go into the highways. Go into the cities. Go into the country. Go wherever you can go and compel these people. Please, please, people. My master has prepared a wonderful meal in eternity. We have a wonderful meal in eternity to go to. Please, just come on into the house. All you have to do is come into the house. That's part of our job, right? Amen. That is part of our job. Everyone has a chance. Everyone has a choice. In that verse 24, it says, for I say to you that none of these men who were invited, this is talking about the men that were too busy. This is talking about the men and women that had too much going on to take time. It's the ones that rejected Jesus. And over in Matthew, the correlation to that is, for many are called, but few are chosen. Amen? So, you know what this message did for me? It's like I've told y'all before. When I stand up here and minister in front of y'all, I minister to myself just as much as I do anybody else. So what that told me, we've had months, several months now, that the world has turned our focus. And it's so subtle that we almost cannot catch it. But the world and the news media and Satan and his kingdom and all these things have turned our perception so far to self right now, it's easy to forget the gospel and what we're called to do. Because we're too concerned about what's going on around us. We're too concerned about our finances. Or we're too concerned about where we should wear a mask or not wear a mask. Or am I going to stay healthy? Or am I going to be a school teacher for another 6 months? Lord, please God, don't let me be a school teacher for 6 more months. I can't. I'm not a school teacher. I did realize that. I found out that my calling is not a school teacher. So if y'all will agree with me that schools will get back in. No, praise God. But something as simple as that, where is that directed to? That was directed at self. I mean, I don't want to be a school teacher to Morgan because it's hard on me. Trying to remember some of that stuff and trying to understand some of that stuff is like, Lord Jesus, I thought I graduated this a long time ago, but evidently I didn't. So, but no, what this did for me was got me outside of my box of thinking of self so much. Because at one time, remember what I said at the beginning of this? I thought if Jesus was here, what message would he want? Not one time do I recall Jesus teaching or preaching or instructing a message on self. It was always about other people. It's always about helping other people. It's always about loving one another. So if anything, it's got to focus back off of myself and back on Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. God is good. You know, no matter what our circumstances, you know, I think about that verse when it says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I mean, we could take that one verse right there and just go on that. We know ultimately what the victory is. We know what our destiny is. And we should be some of the most joyous, happiest, prosperous, healthy people in this world right now. In taking this opportunity in this time, if we see a brother and sister hurting, or if we see a brother and sister in fear, say, I know the answer to that. I know what can help you with this. Give me just 5 minutes of your time and let me talk to you. Let me tell you that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Let me tell you that He longs to do nothing but good for us. Let me tell you that He has already healed you. Amen. Let me tell you, He's prepared a place for you. And all you have to do is accept Him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. God's good. Amen. So I challenge you today. Just take something I said today and apply it. Take some of that focus off of ourselves so much and put some of that focus on helping somebody else. Amen? Because that's what it's all about. I mean, I know we have to protect ourselves. I know we have to think about ourselves. And I know we have to, you know, in our family. And I'm not saying just forsake yourself and go. Well, Jesus did say forsake your mother and father. but that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying don't let that grip of being consumed of it's me, and nobody else consume you right now in this time. Amen? Praise God. And take that. Take Jesus' message of salvation And let's deliver that to the world today. Let's do what we can. And I know some of you's out there, I know some of you's are awesome. I mean, passing somebody in the grocery store aisle, y'all are listening to the Holy Spirit and you're like, I've got a word for that person. Or I just need to tell that person. You know, I've even noticed that sometimes if you just slip somebody a little extra money somewhere, it absolutely astonishes them.
Yep.
And they're like, why would you do this for me? There's your opportunity. It's like, I'm not doing it. My Father's doing it. It's out of the love that's inside of me that I want to bless you. I mean, there's so many things that we can do to bless other people. And there's so many things that we can do to get people wondering what we have that they don't have. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to find out what that person's got because I want what they have. Amen? So let's do that. Let's go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's be the servant of Jesus Christ and invite these people with that invitation that he's given out. We got to get them into the salvation before we can invite them into that supper. But once we get that eternity secured, then we can move on. That's kind of what that whole Luke 13 was about. Once we secure their eternity, secure our eternity, then we move on with Jesus. We grow up with him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, if y'all stand with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just come before you today. Father, we come before you humbly. And we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. Father, I was just jotting down this morning a few things, Father, what you are. You're my Redeemer. You're my healer. You're my provider. You're my joy. You're my help in time of trouble. Father, there's so many things you are to all of us. And if we just took the time, Lord, to reflect on that and to think of who you are, Father. God, you're so good to us. Father, don't let a day go by that we don't remember and we don't know how good you are to us and how much you have provided and protected us. Father, we just claim your protection today. Let your protection surround us when we're coming in, when we're going out. Father, we thank you for that protection over our family. And Father, I just pray for those in the world today that don't know you. Father, the harvest is white. Send your laborers, Father. And may your laborers acknowledge that they're being sent. And let them go out and do your will. Let us go out, Father. Send us out, Father. Show us how. Show us people. Show us the right things to say to people. Give us a word in season for somebody, Father. Because when it gets right down to it, Father, it's all about spending eternity with you. Now, Father, I pray for this house. I pray for these people, Father. I think that all their needs are met. All their bills are paid. Father, financial blessing over this house. Father, let us just let nothing come short. Father, I just pray that you provide, and I know you will, Father. You provide for all these people, Father. I thank you, Father, for their health. Thank you, Lord, for a strong mind. We have a strong mind in this house, Father. Thank you for the word that comes out of this house. Father, I thank you for our pastors. Thank you that you've anointed them. Thank you, Lord, that we have them for this time, for this season, and all the wisdom and knowledge you've bestowed on them. Let some of that wisdom and knowledge pass off on to us, Father. We ask for your wisdom. Father, I pray that Pastor Ronnie, his boldness increase. Not that he's not already bold, Father, but give him more, Lord. Whatever his heart desires, Father, I know you got it. And we just thank you for that. Father, thank you that these people have an awesome week and we'll have opportunity, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, Penny, there probably is. Do you want to do any announcements? Come on up. Hallelujah. We got a few announcements and stuff, so.
Hallelujah.
I'll get out of the way just a second.
Sorry, I was in the back. I literally just found out my mom's aunt died. So she neglected to tell me because that's how we communicate in my family. So if you have communication issues in your family, don't feel bad. Everyone does. I was like, are you serious? She's in service up at Chris McMichael's. And she's saying, I can't talk. I'm like, you have to. I don't know about this. So just keep my grandmother. It was my grandmother's sister. Just keep them in your prayers as we go. I know, God love her. I'm like, Mom, seriously? Look, don't forget about youth camp. It's coming up on Sunday, a week from today. It starts at 6 o'clock at night, and it goes until 9 o'clock. We feed the kids supper, not just those little cookies that you can put on your finger. Do y'all remember those when you used to go to Bible school? I used to love those. I'd load them up on my finger. Deneen knows what I'm talking about. Those little round cookies, they look like little flowers. I used to stick them on my finger and eat them all. But we serve like food. We got like spaghetti and hot dogs. We got a wonderful cook team. We serve food for your belly and food for your spirit. We love to teach these kids and they love coming every year. Sign up on the bulletin board that is across from the kitchen in the hallway. And again, that's at 6 o'clock starting next Sunday. Reverend Sherlock Bally is going to be here Friday, August the 7th at 7 o'clock. And then Sunday, August the 9th at 11. So that's a Friday and Sunday. I'm not sure about Wednesday service that week, so just keep your ears open and we'll let you know about that. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, Josh has already prayed for us, so I'm going to let you be dismissed. Go in peace and have a good day. I'm going to go to a few.